Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Ultimately, it means that God is the power source. Salvation, He's the one that gives us salvation because it's not by works. Then when we go through this process of being Christ-like and working out our salvation, it's God that empowers us to, number one, have the desire to do it.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And with that, we're off to the races. And if you don't mind, I want to run the race to win.
Amen.
At least for the next 30 minutes. That baritone of a voice that you just heard is none other than Jason Edge. And when Jason's in the studio, if you're a follower of the show, you know that today is a Q&A day. But first of all, I'm so excited that you're here.
Hey, I'm glad to be here too,
It's been a little bit.
It has been a while. It's been too long.
You're too busy to help your brother out most of the time. No, that's not true. Jason is one of the ministry leaders, the team leaders of Truth Infusion Ministry, so I really enjoy when he gets to do this with me. Everything good?
Great.
How's the business going?
It's going great. Going good.
God's blessing Jason and Tiffany with the opportunity to open up a catering/cooking business, and he is a pitmaster, barbecue pitmaster.
That's
I don't know.
Right.
People in other parts of the nation may not understand pitmaster from like we do in Texas, but Jason's the master of the smoking of the meat.
Yes, I enjoy it.
And he asked God to open up an opportunity to minister through this business, and God's been doing that.
Amen. He has. He's definitely shown out in that area.
Tell him the name of it.
It's a Big Daddy's Cook Shack, and people always ask me who's Big Daddy, and obviously they think it's me. And no, I said it's the one and only. You know, it's not me. So it's a chance to minister and also feed people. We do events all the time. For Thanksgiving, we're gonna go to the church under the bridge and feed the homeless, like 100 breakfast burritos.
Amen.
And stuff like that. So I'm excited about having that opportunity and Him providing for
Amen.
It.
Amen. That's right. And what's the moniker for the business?
Oh, and the moniker is we smoke the beef and serve the lamb.
That's right. And it's the best motto I've ever heard, and it's probably because I came up with it.
That's right.
And actually, I came up with that motto folding clothes one day, so you know it's got to be divinely inspired.
That's right. That's how God works. That's why we're folding laundry.
My mind was not on my work. I tell you, it was on the Lord, because I can't stand folding clothes. But it's kind of a necessary thing when you have a house of five.
Yep.
Well, guys, we're going to tackle a very necessary, important, if there ever was a question we could say is the most important question.
Absolutely.
It would fall into this category. We're actually going to take two questions today, because as they came to me in a short amount of time, they both dealt with the same subject. So if we're good managers of our time today, and we don't want to outstep the Holy Spirit, but I'm hoping that we can touch both of these questions today. And the title of today's show is What About Salvation? And that's what we're going to be dealing with, is salvation. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to pray, man, and then we'll go into this first question and let the Lord do what the Lord does.
Okay. Father God, we just ask that these words be your words, Father, because on something so precious as salvation, Father, I want to get out of the way.
Amen.
And David, get out of the way and let you flow through us, through the word that we speak. Let it touch the hearts, and let it break some of these ideas of how salvation really works, and let's reveal the truth to everybody. That way they can understand it more, receive it more, and Father, and appreciate that free gift, Father, of salvation, Father. So I do ask that we get all the distractions out of the way, Father. Let the person hearing this, Father, let their hearts and their minds be open to receive this word, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, man, let's have the first question.
All right, the first question If a person is dying and has not confessed of their sins and hasn't accepted Jesus as Savior, does that mean they won't go to heaven? What if they have done this but are not able to verbalize it openly? This is happening to someone I know, and he is fighting death with all his might.
Okay, and that question came from Patsy in Texarkana, Arkansas. Very, very applicable question. I don't know if Patsy really is searching for answers in this herself, or maybe she just needs to understand it a little better so that she can explain it well to this dear man that's struggling with his life. But if he ever needed to know it, it's now. So, Jason, what are your thoughts? Let's get into teaching on this.
Well, this is a good question, and it's far too often not answered in the right way. You know, we hear all the time at funerals that we're, regardless of that person's lifestyle, regardless of what they believe, that it's always mentioned that well, we'll see them in heaven.
Yeah.
And I just think that puts a false idea what salvation really is.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause a lot of these people don't go to church and don't really understand the word. So their idea of Christianity or idea of salvation is, well, maybe if I'm good enough, or maybe if I do the right things that these Christians are saying. And I knew this person, he was a scoundrel. And
yeah, I think the good enough is a huge factor for a lot of people.
Right. But what I do know is, you know, Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name in heaven given to mankind which we must be saved, and it's Jesus.
Right. Amen.
So no matter what we believe or what we do, as long as we believe in what Jesus did on the cross, mm-hmm. as long as we believe that his sacrifice and his willingness to give his life for us and mm-hmm. die on the cross and raise again, that's the only way. Through faith in that is the only way through salvation. And, you know, for most people, it's hard to believe that. You know, for instance, we want to do things to earn that salvation. You know, I like to know that speaking of cooking, I like to know if I put this right temperature on and put it on for a certain amount of time, the effect of that is going to be a delicious piece of
right.
meat.
Yeah, we're kind of wired that way.
Right. We want to do things and receive. We want to know if we do A and B, we'll every time get C.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that way in salvation. You know, there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we have that God wants.
Yeah, we don't deserve it.
Right. We definitely don't deserve it, because the way we live, or just the fact that we can sin.
Mm-hmm.
But to put an illustration that I tell a lot of people is, you know, you can take this drug lord, murderous, you know, sex trafficking person, and can ultimately have the same fate as this sweet old lady that's never done anything wrong. And it's hard for people to believe that those two people can go to the same place after death.
Yeah.
'Cause it doesn't matter what you do, it's who you believe in. You know, say the drug lord gets caught up and goes to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends the rest of his life in jail, but yet in jail, he turns his life over to Jesus, and regardless of everything he's done in his life, that's covered. That was covered on the cross. That's sin,
right.
And that man is going to go to heaven, regardless of what he did in his past. That's why I think it's explained so well in being born again. It's a new creation.
Amen.
And you know, but yeah, let's talk about that sweet old lady that happens maybe an atheist or agnostic or something. It just doesn't have time for Jesus. Human society really don't want to believe that she'll go to hell, but the truth is she will.
Yeah.
If she doesn't have faith in what Jesus did on the cross.
Right. Because it doesn't have anything to do with our works or our abilities. And really, you and I both know, well, let me just say it this way. Everybody knows people in these two categories, especially if you're a Christian and have a good knowledge and understanding of this. We both met and spent time with evangelist Bill Say.
Right.
And he was that drug lord, sex trafficker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Responsible for first-degree murder. Met the Lord, was released from prison, has been evangelizing now for many years, but he was a monster. And at the same time, I know atheists that are good people.
Yeah.
By definition of what we would look at as far as through human eyes. They're kind. They want to help people. They're good family people. But like you're saying, it's not a matter of how many check marks you have on your chart in heaven, good works you've done.
That's right.
It's all about where is your faith placed.
Right. And, you know, that's what John 3:36 says, is whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Yeah. And we don't want to, you know, that's God's word. That's the truth. And those are red letters. You know?
Amen.
And it is what it is. And God's not being unfair. I mean, he gave his own Son so we can receive that.
Right.
And all we have to do is believe and let Jesus be our Lord.
Yeah. It's a heck of a deal.
That's right.
I mean, if it had anything to do with perform this or perform that, there would automatically be major sections of the world excluded, because some people just wouldn't be able to do it.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that later.
Okay. Well, I won't jump on your stuff.
Yeah. Don't get ahead of me.
Okay.
Now.
All right.
But like we were saying, I was talking to this young man at church yesterday. I haven't seen. He's been through a terrible ordeal in his life as a father. Killed his mother right in front of him, and you know, he's just had a rough life. And I had an opportunity to talk with him and pray with him, and just lift him up and got him convinced to probably join the military.
Oh yeah,
that's I'm old.
You went for Jesus and Uncle Sam.
That's right. You know, I'm a veteran myself, and you know, I just see the benefits of people that have something like that happen in their life.
Yeah.
That the military and God. Well, he's found God, and now he just needs a. He has no family support. And I was like, well, this is probably one of your best options, because they can show you how to be a man and all that stuff. But that's a different story, too.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, he had all these great questions that I've heard older people ask. But he's talking about, you know, if a guy commits murder, you know, does he go to hell? And I was like, yes and no. And he looked at me puzzled. And I said, let's put it this way. He says, if a person commits sin, will they go to hell? And I said, yes. And I also said, if a person doesn't commit sin, will they go to hell? And I said, yes. And then I said, what if a person does not sin, will they go to hell? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And you should have seen the look on his face by now. And then I said, well, and if a person doesn't ever commit sin, will they go to heaven? And I said, yes. And it's basically, I was making the illustration that it's not sin that's the object or the factor of our salvation. It's faith.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of sinners in heaven.
That's right.
I'll be one of them.
Me too.
I tell you, some believe that if you haven't confessed all your sins, you know, that you're not saved. And they're the ones that think you have to confess and come back to salvation over and over and over. The truth is, I'm 34. You're like 87. How old are you? 35?
35 today.
35. Oh, and I didn't tell you happy
birthday.
That's
right. I was waiting on it. You hurt my feelings a little bit.
Oh,
but I still love you, man. I
want to apologize and say happy birthday to possibly 6 million people on behalf of Jason Edge. I didn't realize 35 today.
Yes, sir.
You're old.
I know it.
I don't even remember what I was going to say now. Oh, in 34 years, I've been saved since I was 6. You don't think there's some unconfessed sins that I just that are not in my mind anymore unless the Holy Spirit brings them back up?
That's right.
I won't even know to bring them up to the Lord. So I'm glad it doesn't have to be with you have to be completely clean and everything confessed to get into heaven, because I don't think any of us would make it on that account.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that confession, because we're going to talk about that now. You know, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
So this is, you're talking about confession unto salvation.
Right, yeah. Right. So when a lot of people say, and I hear all the time, that it's an absolute that you have to confess with your mouth. And as I was studying over this last night, you know, it put on my heart. I said, what about people that can't talk?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
They kind of got the short end of the stick on this deal. And then I started studying, and I think in Kenneth Wiest's commentary, he outlined it where I could understand it, maybe explain it. But he said it's not the actual confession of your salvation. It's the confession of your agreement of what the Scripture lines out and says, that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. And that's the confession. It's kind of like being baptized. Some people believe that you have to be baptized. Again, putting a requirement on salvation that you have to do this.
Yeah.
And but that's not true. But you will be baptized out of obedience after you're saved. It's the same way with this confession that they're talking about. It's a almost immediate. You know, once that's in your heart, mm-hmm. you will confess. I mean, I know when I got saved, you know, in Iraq and that wreck and paralyzed, and I confessed just me and God.
Yeah.
You know, I confessed out loud because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life mangled and paralyzed. And
you were crying out.
I was crying out, heartfelt, and I felt this peace come over me. And that was my confession. Mm-hmm. You know, I agreed that, all right, you're the man. You know, and it's not about me anymore. And he had to get me to a near-death experience before I would submit to that.
Yeah.
Because I was a hard head.
Well, I won't comment on that. but you're right. The confession doesn't usher in salvation. The faith does. The belief. But when your heart's changed, you can't help but confess it. And while we were saying there's some people that are born where they can't speak or have a stroke or an injury and it takes that away, or maybe they're just in a place where they, like we were saying earlier, if they have a vent, they're in the hospital with a vent down their throat and they can't talk, and can they get saved because they can't speak? Well, sure, because it's the confession of the fact that your heart's changed. If you can verbalize it, you will. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, then your life will confess it.
That's right.
But I agree with that. God puts no requirements on us that would exclude anybody. I know that's why he said faith is enough.
Right.
Faith is enough. If you just believe, and I think anybody can believe.
Yeah, everybody can believe.
Right.
And I think that's why God knew what he was doing. He said, hey, it's faith.
He tends to know what he's doing. I agree with that.
That's right. And that's awesome. And you know, and speaking of the end of that question, you know, where Patsy said that this guy is fighting with all his might,
mm-hmm.
and to hanging on to life.
Yeah.
And it just brings me back. You know, I've talked to some people, and they said, well, does God really save people on their deathbed, you know, mm-hmm. right before they die, and they give their life to God right before they take their last breath? Are they truly saved? And I was like, absolutely.
Sure.
And their reaction was, that's not fair. I spent all my life struggling to be a Christian and having to do these things for Christ. And I was like, well, poor you, you know.
What an awful mindset.
Yeah, I think you're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
And but, you know, a lot of times God uses near-death experiences. He did on me. I should have been dead by all legalistic, by the statistics in the military about rollovers and stuff like that. I should be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by the grace of God that I'm even walking.
Yeah.
And so he uses those road to Damascus events sometimes on certain people. And it may be right before their last breath, that near-death experience. And because he loves us. You know,
amen.
even after the tribulation, he's given the people a second chance to come to him after mm-hmm. the rapture.
Yeah, he's a God that wants that relationship.
Right, and that's one of the verses he says, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, mm-hmm. as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but should have come to repentance.
Yeah.
You know, he'll wait till the last minute if he's got to, and he does.
If that's what it takes.
And it does.
You know, I find that's true with my kids. You know, I how many of us dads that love our kids, if in the last minute of their life they wanted to make things right with us, we wouldn't.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And he's our Heavenly Father that's knows so much more about being a dad than we do.
Absolutely. And he's a good daddy.
Plus, there was a thief on the cross that asked the Lord for that in the last moments of his life, and he received it.
Absolutely.
So we even have scriptural example.
God is good.
Amen.
And he's good at what he does, and I'm thankful for what he did in my life 5 years ago. I've only been a Christian. I'm a baby Christian in aspects of my spiritual walk. But he's shown me so much in these last 5 years of about just the truth, and I thank him for it.
Amen. He's a God that wants to grant salvation, and he does it based on faith.
Yep.
And that's the only way.
The only way.
That's the only way. And that's the main thing, Patsy, that we want you to hear.
Right, because if we can earn it, then we can lose it.
That's true. And in Galatians, I don't remember, it's in chapter 5, I don't remember the verse, but it says that if righteousness could come by the law, in other words, what we could do, then Christ died in vain. Meaning, there was no reason for him to come and die if we could figure it out or work it out ourselves. But we know we need a Savior. And so that ultimately takes us off the table as I've been able to accomplish this.
That's right.
And so it is not by works. That's Ephesians 2:8.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that in this second question. And the second question comes from Joseph in Redwater, Texas, which is the home of the Truth Infusion Broadcasting Studios. This is a hometown question. And Joseph asked this, goes right along, I thought, with what we've been talking about thus far. Question number two, what does working out our salvation mean? Salvation is our gift, which we've been discussing very in depth. What does the word working mean in the text, Philippians 2:12? I've heard this question before, and it's a good one. Let me read Philippians 2:12, and then it's not hard to explain this once you spend a little time looking at it. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, and here it comes, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which would lead us to a place where a lot of those verses you read when you were speaking, Jason, was from Paul, mm-hmm. out of Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, and none of those pointed toward us earning our salvation and working for it. And then here comes a verse from Paul that says, work out your salvation. So to the person that wants to be a controversy nut and say, the Bible's playing against itself, and it's even Paul. Well, you know what? If Paul had made a mistake that big, the enemies of the Bible would have exploited that a long time ago.
That's right.
And they haven't. It's just most church folks that get confused on this for whatever reason because we don't work to figure it out. But here's how it goes. Work out your salvation in Philippians 2:12. That word work out means to, in the Greek, to carry out to the end goal or to carry out to its ultimate conclusion. We've all said it in that respect before when we look at somebody working on a math problem and we say, give them some time. They're working it out.
Yeah.
You know, they understand math. They've got the tools to complete the problem. They have the problem. Now they are just going through the steps to come to the answer. They're working it out. And that's what Paul's saying. Work your salvation out to its ultimate end. And the ultimate end for our salvation is what?
Glorification.
Yeah, glorification. Ultimate Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. So we're all, Paul said, I have not yet attained this, but I'm pressing on toward that mark, toward Christ-likeness. That's our ultimate conclusion. And that's all it's saying. Continue what God started in your salvation. Work it. Continue to work toward that ultimate conclusion of Christ-likeness. And that's an everyday righteous living, Christ-likeness is an everyday job.
Right.
And we continue to work toward that. And he says, with fear and trembling, a quick note on that. This is not necessarily referring to fear of the Lord, which I'm not discounting that. We know that that's a necessary aspect of really
right.
honoring God.
Absolutely.
But this is more pointing toward fear your own self-destruction. Fear falling to temptation.
Fear going back to who you once were.
Absolutely. Fear losing sight of God and His plan. We ought to keep this somewhere in the back of our mind, that even as Christians of decades, serving, ministers, whatever, we're one step away from a gross fall into sin.
That's right.
And we ought to have an amazing, fearful respect of, I never want to do that again, so Lord, You keep me in line and keep our focus and faith on Christ. And that's really what that verse means. But here's what we can do. We can take that as humans and we can come to a place where we say, okay, God, You got me in the party. Now I got to do my work from here. I got to work out my salvation. Well, if you'll just read verse 13, he puts a stop to all that mess right away.
Right.
Let me read 13. I'll go back a little bit. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Here's 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure.
Amen.
Okay? And again, we refer back to Ephesians 2:9, talking about it is a gift of God, not by works, so no man can boast. In other words, we didn't do a thing to get in this other than have faith. Now he's saying, for it is God that works in you. And that word works right there is a cool word. In the Greek, it means to energize something, to make it work effectively. Ultimately, it means that God is the power source for us to be able to work out this salvation. And he even gives us detail as to what power he's doing. He says to will and to do. And that to will means to have the desire to want to be Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously to do means to perform it, to have the ability to do it. So he gets us in salvation. He's the one that gives us salvation because it's not by works. Then when we go through this process of being Christ-like and working out our salvation, it's God that empowers us to, number one, have the desire to do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't even We'd be after what we want, right? Right.
Absolutely.
And a lot of Christians do. They get in.
Oh, yeah.
They get on the team. They get their uniform bright and shiny, look like everybody else. And then how many of us have said, well, they were on fire for God. I don't know what happened to them. Well, if they're not living for the Lord and giving Him His rightful place in their life, they're not going to receive this power to will, to desire to do Christ-like. Now, I don't think they ever get to a place where they don't want to have their life right.
No.
Because the Holy Spirit's continuously.
Well, they're so used to everything being easy in life of just, you know, doing what they want to do, and it comes natural like sin. But yet, you know, there takes time to want to persevere, yeah, to want to work it out.
And here, I'll get into that in just a second because you're right. But ultimately, I just want to say the moral of this story is God grants salvation and that God empowers us to have the desire and the ability to perform the work of being Christ-like. So it's Him all the way.
All the way.
And so what is our part then? In the last just couple of minutes, we've talked about not by works, not by works. It's not us. It's not us. It's not us. And so some people may be out there saying, so what is my part in this whole equation? Well, you do have a part. And the part is very simple. Colossians 2:6 says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did we receive Him?
Through faith.
By faith. How do we continue to walk and let Him work out our salvation?
By faith.
By faith. It is the faith thing. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And so here's how it works. We got about a minute left. Here's how it works. We keep our faith in the Lord. Through faith, we have the salvation of Christ comes to us. We're justified. Then we keep our faith in the fact that that work on the cross was enough to get us through this life and make us Christ-like and deliver us and heal us and teach us. And all that stuff comes through the cross when we have our faith in the right place. For when our faith stays in the right place, the Holy Spirit has full reign to do all that good work in us and make us more and more like Jesus every day. We will carry through to the ultimate conclusion of Christ-likeness by faith.
Amen.
Thank you for coming in today.
Amen. It was great being here.
Truth seekers, until the next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.